hey, have you ever had a great idea and you just want to tell everyone about it, but you're running into a couple problems? Like, one, how do I tell everyone about my great idea? Or even, how do I even get this podcast off the ground? Let me tell you, I was in the same boat as you, kid. And honestly, Anchor is the one that helped me out. Anchor is your one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors, so you can get paid for the podcast you put out. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast and tell the world about this great idea of yours, go to anchor.fm/start and join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start, and I can't wait to hear your podcast.
Hey, everyone. This is Josh, obviously, because I'm talking. I just want to once again thank Viper so much for being patient with me, getting this podcast out. It is long overdue, and the reasoning behind that is myself and Ben, our audio files were corrupted. My computer decided to be dumb and set those files basically on fire and almost non-recoverable, but I was able to recover them and fix them in post to the best of my ability. And they were 10 times worse than what they came out as. So once again, I super duper apologize for this coming out super late, and for the audio quality being not normally on par than what we have here on a Designer Exchange show. So I do apologize for that, but I once again, great interview, great having Viper on. You're always welcome back on the show whenever you want. So without further ado, let's roll that podcast, shall we?
What's up, people? It's your boy Viper, the man about tech.
Yo, Viper, what are you doing? Wrong channel.
Oh, that's right. I'm on a podcast, then. Ooh.
Welcome back to another episode of a Designer Exchange. My name is Josh Ignary, and this is my podcast where I just ramble on all day and we figure it out. Ben is here with me. Ben, say hello to the people on the land of podcast.
Hey there.
And then we are greeted by none other but Viper. Welcome, Viper.
Thank you. How you doing?
Good, thank you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Awesome. So the whole kind of basis behind this podcast is to learn about, you know, design and creativity, but also we like to take a moment and kind of put our hand out there into like the YouTube, like internet universe, and find people who we think are very creative and very interesting and bring a different aspect to the role of creativity and design. And Ben and I were looking through the universe and we found you and we really like what you're doing. Wanted to bring you on, so once again, thank you so much for, you know, being on the show.
No problem. It's apropos that you found the man about tech.
So kind of to jump into this like little thing I call an interview, Viper, why don't you give us a little little background on, you know, who you are, what you do, and how you got to YouTube.
All right, so basically, you want a Man About Tech origin story. Let me see what I can do about this. So, what happened was, I've been working in IT for the past 3 years. What I do is I provide executive IT support for a Fortune 500 company for their C-level executive. And I've been doing that, for the past 3 years. And over the past, 10 years or so, I've been on Facebook. And over those 10 years, people have asked me, or people have actually suggested to me, that I start a YouTube channel. I never took it seriously until this year because I figured that YouTube was oversaturated with tech people anyway, which it is, but I am the man about tech. And as I always say, there's only one Viper. So this year I decided to throw my hat into the YouTube ring, and here's where we are tonight.
Awesome. So where did the idea of having this very high energy, high explosive kind of like personality of who you are come for the channel? Has this always been like how you are? You just, you know, I talk about you and I really compare you to Flossie Carter in a sense of just the high energy and the very dynamic of who you are, and you're both very similar in that aspect. So where was that kind of some of inspiration behind it, or is it just raw genius behind your end?
Well, basically, I'm like, I guess when I'm not on YouTube, I'm kind of like a normal person or whatnot, but I watched a lot of WWE growing up, so I think a lot of it comes from that. And also, I've watched 10 years of YouTube, which means I've watched 10 years of boring YouTube tech videos, and I swore up and down I would not fall into the same pool with the rest of the boring tech YouTube channel. So that is why you have the Man About Tech, the Viper, here before you tonight, because I refuse to make boring videos.
So where did the name The Man Behind Tech, where did that title come from? Is that something you invented for your role here? Or?
Actually, I made it up in the middle of a video.
Sounds like Josh.
Seriously, I just make up things as I go along. Yep. So, The Man About Tech and the captain of Team Apple, people who give themselves like self-proclaimed titles, they usually don't pan out well and they usually don't stick. But how have you made yours stick? Because I know, like, you've gained a lot of backlash for saying you're the captain of Team Apple when there's other very pro-Apple, like Everyday Apple Pro and Talos of Tech with Drew. How did you make those, like, self-proclaimed titles stick so well?
Well, starting off with The Man About Tech, actually, before I started calling myself or using these terms, I did a search on YouTube to make sure nobody else was using them. So when I saw that nobody else was using them, I just ran with it. The Man About Tech is kind of interesting because I made it up in the middle of a video, and I'm like, man, this sounds pretty good. So I say it now in every video, and that's the way that one stuck. The captain of Team Apple thing is another thing. I just made it up out of nowhere one day, and then I did a YouTube search to make sure that nobody took it, and nobody had taken it, so I ran with it. And it's funny that you say I get backlash. I don't really get backlash, but when you were a small YouTuber like me who had like 300-400 subs, and you got Talos of Tech, the legendary Apple sheep, people who are coming on my channel and on my live streams like, you're not the captain of Team Apple. Talos of Tech is the captain of Team Apple. I'm like, listen, punk, do a Google search and figure out who you come up with. Look who face you come up with. I promise you, it won't be Talos of Tech. So I just stuck with it. And now people know that I am the captain of Team Apple. And here we are.
If Google says it's official.
So. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so why Apple? Like, why be an Apple fan? Because, like, myself, I'm a big Apple fan, and Ben is actually a big Android fan. So why do you love Apple, or why are you a fan of the community of Apple? Just why Apple?
Probably because I love Apple products, man. I have, like, 5, 6, 7 different Apple products. They all work together seamlessly. I love the ecosystem. I love the ease of use. I love the productivity that I get out of using Apple products, and I don't know. They just work for my workflow and my lifestyle. Like, Apple products just work best. Like, right now, I'm doing this interview on a MacBook Pro. I mean, so you have that. I used to shoot all my videos on an iPad before I got the MacBook Pro. Now I use a webcam with the MacBook Pro to shoot my video. But the way that Apple products just work for me have made me a big fan over the years. And sometimes people ask me what my first Apple product was. And I almost forgot, but it was actually the original iPad way back in the original iPod back in 2001 or something like that. So I've been messing around with Apple products for almost 20 years now. Crazy.
Okay.
Was the original iPod the one with a scroll wheel on it?
The click wheel, yep. The one with the click wheel, yep.
Which one it was.
Yep.
See, I had the one with the stick, the little, like, USB stick. That's what I had, the one that everyone wrung around their neck. Like,
oh, you got the shuffle, okay.
The nano.
Yeah, that's what I had. I want to take it a little bit back now with before YouTube now, and let's talk. You're from Chicago, so the real big question I have for you is, are you a big fan of deep dish pizza? Are you not? Because I feel like that's the only question that really matters to me right now at this point.
Actually, funny that you asked that, because I am not a big fan of deep dish. I'm more of a thin crust guy myself.
Well, everyone, that's the podcast. We're done. All right, see ya. Bye.
Josh is a huge fan of deep dish.
I went to Chicago, Ben and I went to Chicago, 2, 3 months ago, back in April, I think?
Like three.
I grew up in about 2 hours west of Chicago, in a town called DeKalb, Illinois.
Yep.
So that's where I grew up. I was born in Elgin and grew up through there. So like Chicago has always been like home to me. And so when I went there, I was like, man, you have to go to this pizza place called Uno's, and they have another place called Duo's, and it's the best pizza place in Chicago. So have you actually been to Uno's, or do you know what I'm talking about at all?
Yes, I have been to Uno. Good pizza.
Okay. All right. Well. Okay. We can get along there. I swear by that pizza place, like, on my own gravestone. And then they made a Mexican joint, and the Mexican food is really good. And I'm just like, who knew Italian people could make Mexican food? So, so you grew up in Chicago. Have you lived in Chicago your whole life then?
Pretty much, except for the few years I went away to college. But yeah, I've been in Chicago pretty much my entire life.
Okay. Where'd you go to college?
I went to school at Manchester University. Well, it was called Manchester College when I went back in the day.
Okay. Did you finish at Manchester University?
I did.
What did you graduate with?
I have a Bachelor of Science in Physics.
Okay. So you have a Bachelor's in Physics.
Yes.
And do you feel like what you learned in college was valuable or not?
A little bit. I mean, obviously, I don't really use what I learned in college today per se, but I feel like there is some value from the schooling that I've done, that I gained in college. But if you ask me today if college is worth it, I would probably tell you no.
Okay, that's interesting. Because myself, I'm actually a college dropout. So I did 3 years of college and then dropped out, ran out of money, and decided to do something else. But I've always loved designing, and so Bannon's actually an architect major at North Dakota State University.
Yeah, so we live in a different time today. Like, college as it currently constructed is not necessary today. There is so much information that can be gained online, like via YouTube or every other platforms and places where you can get information. It's really making college almost obsolete.
I can understand that completely. What made you say tech videos was because people told you to do it, but what was like, did you finally just was like, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring, let's do this, like, what's the worst that could go wrong? And then, you know, how long have you been doing YouTube now, 6 months roughly?
Where were we in July? Actually, about we're finishing month number 7, so we're running into 8 now, so yeah, I've been doing it since January.
Okay, so let's take Viper back to January. Let's talk about January, Viper.
Oh, Lord.
You started your YouTube channel. What was your goal for in January?
You know what, Josh? This is going to sound funny considering where I am right now today as we do this interview. But my goal back in January for the entire year was to get 100 subscribers. 100.
Well, you got more than that.
Yeah, you got more than that.
Like 10 times more than that.
And so let's talk about the growth of you on channel. So you grew up, what blew your channel up besides the personality and like the man about tech and who you are? What helped surge you to get past that real hard milestone of as 1,000 subscribers?
Ah, this is a very good question, especially considering where we are right now. So actually what blew the channel up is Veda, which is video every day. Well, back then it was April. And beginning today is in August. So Veda is a time where you upload a video every single day for one particular month, for that particular month. So I uploaded a video every day in April. And one of the videos I uploaded in April was a response video to the iMac Pro debacle that Linus Tech Tips had. And when I uploaded that video, that's when John Prosser discovered me and decided to feature me on Front Page Tech as the creator of awesomeness. And it's been all uphill since then, man. It's been crazy.
Yeah, no kidding. I take a look at, like, your Social Blade, and I notice that you have a huge amount of surges in the sense of, you know, Talosov and John Prosser, like, shouting you out. And do you see the audience? Ooh, I'm going to sneeze. Crap. Ben, answer questions. I'm going to sneeze.
You're putting me on the spot here, Josh.
I'm sorry. I had to sneeze, and I'm going to have to sneeze again. Well, sorry, children. It's flu season. I don't know. what was I talking about again? I don't remember.
Something about Social Blade?
Yeah, Social Blade. So we look at like Social Blade stats, and I looked at it for Paul, and now I look at it for you, and I see these huge growths in like spurts for you. Is that a consistent thing now, or is that just during the beta incident?
Well, the spurts that you see are probably due to shout-out, more or less, but other than that, it's just basically steady, like, normal, organic growth, more or less.
I agree. So, we're 7 months in, so where do we see the channel now in the next 6 months?
Whoo, man, it's hard to tell because, man, I didn't think I would be where I'm at today back when I first started, so I don't know what can happen over the next 6 months. See, right now I'm at about 1400 something, so hopefully in the next 6 months I'll be at the very least at around 5,000 subscribers, and then we'll see what happens after that.
That's okay. A big goal to hit, but then you already surpassed your 100, so
right.
The sky is the limit.
Yeah.
So your review style, when you start to review a product, say the Logitech MS Master, which I know Josh, you have that mouse, right?
I swear by that mouse up and down my grave, I swear.
When you prepare for a video like that, how do you prepare for a video on a product like that?
Yeah, so what I do is I like to jot down some notes. My videos are all unscripted. I don't use a script because I feel like that's not natural. But what I do, instead of scripting the video, is I like to have an outline of things that I want to talk about so I don't miss any points. So when I'm doing a review for a product, I make an outline of all the talking points that I want to hit in the video. And then I'm looking at that outline as I go through the video. But like I said, the video is actually unscripted. It basically everything that I'm telling you is ad-lib off the top of my head, but I'm still using that outline as a guide as I go through the video. So I'm trying to do all the research about the product that I can do, and then I have to decide which information is the most important for me to put into the video. Obviously, I'm not going to be able to get everything because I don't have that type of time, and nor do most of the viewers. So I want to make sure I get the most important point of the product in the video, but at the same time, I need to relay how that product affects me and how does the product make me feel. Because I don't want to give you a generic spec runoff, and you can get that anywhere. What you want to know is, what do I think about the product? So that's something I try to relay in all my videos. Like, what does the product do for Viper? What does this product do for the man about tech? How does he feel about this product? Do I feel like this is the product that I can recommend to other people? And that's how I go about doing it.
Okay, so would you recommend, say, the Adobe Suite? Do you have that?
I do not, no.
Okay,
so you're a fan of Final Cut, then?
I'm a Final Cut guy, yep.
Okay, but you started off on LumaFusion, correct?
Correct. Right? Yeah.
Okay, so I want to talk about smaller creators when they say, because I'm a big fan of this, when people say, I can't do this because of I don't have this, or I can't make this video because I don't have this. What do you say to people when they say, like, oh, I can't afford Final Cut, or oh, I can't afford the Adobe Suite?
It's an excuse, Josh. It is an excuse. You don't need all that big time, big money item to do a YouTube channel. If you want to do a YouTube channel, all you got to do is pull out your smartphone and hit the record button and do what you got to do. You don't need a fancy $8,000 Reddit camera. You don't need the best studio microphone. All you have to do is use what you have in front of you and then grow and go from there. Because it's not about the equipment that you have when you first start. It's about how you come across on video. You have to get your legs under you. You have to develop a camera presence. You have to make sure that your audio is right. You have to develop a style that you want to portray in your videos. And these are things that are independent of whatever equipment it is that you're using. These are things that you have to find within inside of you first. Then you can worry about the equipment later on down the line. But if you want to just get started using what you have. Don't make excuses. Don't wait for the perfect time, because there is no perfect time. You just got to get out there and go.
Okay, so at the end of the day, gear has never mattered to you at all.
Not when I first started, no. I used my iPhone or whatever, and that's how I started.
think you lost me. Okay. We lost you for a second there.
Oh, I'm here.
Oh, you're okay. Here. Okay. So gear doesn't matter for you at first. Does gear matter now? Like, you're at 1,000 subscribers. You've got, you know, your feet dug in. You know, you're ready to go at bat at, you know, every video. Are you always consistently trying to upgrade that gear?
Not particularly. I mean, what I did, I will tell you that I upgraded my microphone because when I was first starting out, I was using the internal mic on my iPad. And one of my subscribers told me that you need to upgrade your audio because it's not the best. So I went out and I got the Blue Yeti mic, which I've been using for like the past like 4 or 5 months, and it's been amazing. So I did want to get a better microphone, which is what I've done. And now I'm using the Yeti, which I'm talking to you on right now. So if you do nothing else as far as gear goes, you need to make sure your audio is up to par. So I would suggest trying to get the best microphone setup that you can get possible and then go from there. The rest of it, it doesn't really make a big difference to me because I'm using a Logitech webcam to do the video portion. But for the audio, I'm using this Blue Yeti because audio is very important.
Okay. So at the end of the day, like, because when I look at your videos and I watch and I analyze your videos as a viewer and then as another, like, creator, I like the idea. It's raw, but it's not like when you watch raw footage can real be, it's just not right. But when I watch your footage, I mean, it's edited, but it's still a raw person telling me their opinion about something. And at the end of the day, like, I think that's what drives people to subscribe to you, and I think that's what drives people to watch your videos. It's the raw factor of who you are. You have that Flossie Carter personality, and you have this just raw image of, like, get the message across in the most entertaining ways possible. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, I recommend this, I tell you this, you know, you hit all those checkpoints. And I think that's really awesome. It's a really different dynamic than the stagnant, you know, how, like, Austin Evans and MKBHD and all these other, like, tech reviewers, it's always the same thing, and it's, like, Team Crispy and all of this. So I really like that factor of your videos.
Well,
do you just do tech review, or is it really just you're in the tech community and you talk about anything around the tech? So whether that's Tesla and their cars that crash into people, to a headphone review, because I know you did a headphone review off of the Skull Candies, if I remember right?
Correct, right. Well, first of all, thank you for the comment. I definitely appreciate it. That's what I'm going for. When I put these videos out, I don't want you to feel like you're watching a commercial. I want you to feel like you are there for me and what I have to say about whatever it is I'm talking about. So the fact that I'm getting that across to you, at the very least, let me know that I'm doing what I set out to do in the first place, which is make me feel good. But to answer your question, and probably the reason why my name is not anything like Viper Tech or something tech, I don't want to be pigeonholed into just tech and whatnot. But I do like technology. Tech is my passion. So all of my videos, or most of my videos, will be focused around tech. Now, whether that be a Skull Candy Crusher headphones, or the Apple TV, or an iPhone, or, like you said, maybe a Tesla car, the fact that I brand myself as me and not tech means I have that range to go about and do what I want to cover, whatever it is in the tech space. So it does, the way I have it set up does allow me to do that. So I do like that I have that versatility to produce the type of videos that I want to make.
Okay. Makes sense. I can understand that. And that makes sense, trying to brand yourself not as a real specific niche of tech, but that's what you love to talk about.
Right.
Let's talk. Okay. So where did the name Viper come at?
Well, like I said, I watched a lot of WWE growing up, and my favorite WWE wrestler is named Randy Orton, and his nickname happens to be Viper, so there you go.
Ben, you watched WWE?
It's a little bit with my roommate in college, yeah. He was really into UFC, WWE.
Oh, I thought you watched
SmackDown.
I was definitely like, whoa, this is a sign of Ben I've never seen. Whoa. Okay. But why the three wives?
Yeah, I was asking that the first time I saw it. I was like, but why?
Oh, that's not what you did. I see what you did there. So basically, the three wives, because Viper with one Y was already taken, and I think Viper with two Ys were probably taken. So Viper with three Ys was not taken. So that's why there are three Ys in there.
Oh, okay.
That's what you gotta do.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta do what you gotta do.
Yep.
Okay, let's get to like the big thing I think that a lot of people know you from, and that's Friday Night with Viper. So what is Friday Night with Viper?
Woo! Oh man. Well, it used to be just me by myself live streaming for like all hours on end. Like I've had live stream just by myself for 3 hours, 5 hours, things like that. But on July 3rd, I decided to do a Google Hangout because I saw some other creators doing it. I'm like, this would be a cool idea. So on July 3rd, which was right before, obviously, the holiday here in the U.S., I figured I would do a live stream and open it up to other creators because I figured it would be long because no one has to go to work the next morning. So I can stay on here and go like 4 or 5, whatever hours, how many hours I want to go. And I can open it up if other creators want to come in. So on that July 3rd live stream, I had 10 different creators come in and live stream with me, including John Proster, including Drew from Tales of Tech, and a host of other creators. And I was like, wow, this went off so good. I think I'm going to start doing my normal Friday live stream like this from now on. And it just blown up, man. It's just been amazing what's happened since then.
So who have you had? Oh, go ahead, Ben.
No, I was just saying, that's pretty awesome. Like, I'm like, there's other people who do, oh, this is my weekly podcast. But, like, you're just like any creator. Just come hang out with me.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep.
So let's talk. You've had big creators. You've had Roberto Blake. You have John Proster, like you've talked about, and Drew from Talos of Deck. And you had Flossie Carter on the show, like, what, a week ago, I think?
Last Friday.
What was it like having Flossie Carter on live stream with you? What was that meant to you?
Well, when I was done fangirling like a little girl, it was amazing, man, because I don't know if you guys are aware, but Floss does his own live streams like I think once a month on Sunday night, and he goes like 6, 7, 8 hours. Like, so it was pretty much just like that, only he was doing his live stream on my live stream. And it was just fun to be able to talk to him directly, because in his live stream, he has some 800 people in the chat, and it's hard to talk to him directly. It's almost impossible to talk to him directly unless you super chat him. So to be able to have him in my live stream on Friday Night Viper, and to be able to talk to him directly, him being my favorite YouTuber ever, was quite an experience like none other I've had on this platform. It was awesome.
Okay. So who's the next like big creator you want on your channel? Like, we've hit Flossie. Are we hitting Linus from Tech Tips? Are we hitting iJustine? Like, who's the next big one we're trying to like, hit and put on the shelf?
Well, Viper Nation wants iJustine, and I would love iJustine to come on. And she expressed interest, or at least she said she'd be interested when she was on the podcast with Pankley Yon and Tech. So that is probably the next person I'm going to try to reach out to and see if I can get her on. It's going to be extremely difficult because she is so, so busy. But if she has a free Friday night, I'm going to try to see if I can get her on there.
There you go. That's all that matters.
Yep.
Friday Night Viper is like your big thing. Now I know this has been talked about with some other channels that I've seen, how
YouTube analytics
are looking at the fact that live streaming is actually hurting your watch session and not your watch time. Do you have a comment on this per se with doing longer live streams?
Yep. I think people need to look at their own individual analytics before they make snap decisions about whether or not they're going to cancel their live stream. It makes no sense for me to cancel my live stream because I have 1,000 subscribers, and my live streams are my most viewed videos every week. To cancel my live streams on my channel would be tantamount to channel suicide or genocide, whatever you want to call it. It's ridiculous. So
right, it would kill the channel.
It would kill the channel pretty much. Well, it wouldn't kill the channel, but it wouldn't be good. So right.
Once you lose your momentum, it's a lot harder to get started again.
Yeah, I mean,
and now, go ahead.
I was going to say, my normal videos that I upload, like, that are not live streams, maybe get, like, 150 to 200 views normally, if I'm lucky. My live streams get 800 to 900 views. So,
oh, wow.
It makes no sense for me to cancel my live streams. That would not be a smart move on my part. And I don't want to fragment my audience anyway, so you don't have to worry. Friday Night Viper's not going anywhere.
Okay, so what you're saying is, before you decide to cancel the and like, you know, cut, pull the cord and, you know, cut the streams on your channel, is that every content creator should look at their own YouTube analytics and look and see how they're affecting your channel.
Correct.
Views and watch time.
Correct.
As far as that. Now, watch time is watch time, and that's fine. But
right.
If we're talking about individual people
right.
watching, your retaining audience is watching a good portion of that live stream.
Right. Like, because like John Proctor said, like, live streams as a whole, it does hurt your audience retention, because even when I'm looking at my own analytics, my audience retention is down as opposed to what it is during a normal non-live stream video. But at the same time, like I said, I have 800 to 900 people watching my live stream. Plus, my watch time like triples when I'm live streaming as opposed to a regular video. So these are things that I just can't ignore. And like I said, the live stream, the negative impact of a live stream doesn't hit me as hard because I have 1,000 subscribers as opposed to somebody like John Prosser, who has 75,000 subscribers but only gets like 5,000 views on his live stream.
Gotcha.
And things like that. So it's a whole bunch of different variables and dynamics that you have to take into consideration before you make a decision about whether or not to continue live streaming.
Okay. Let's move from YouTube and let's talk about IGTV. What is your opinion on IGTV?
Oh, I don't know if you realize, but my video tonight that I just uploaded is about IGTV being dead.
Oh, you
like literally today.
Just 42 minutes ago. Yes.
Like before. So you think IGTV it's done, it's dead, it's over with.
It's dead, yeah. Like, it's funny because I'm seeing content creators post on Twitter about how they don't even post to IGTV anymore. These are the people that were gung-ho when it first came out about posting to IGTV. They were like, I'm going to make a video every day on IGTV, and they just stopped. And I'm like, okay, so what made these people stop posting to IGTV? And the fact of the matter is, it's like John Proctor said on Twitter, it's not a destination. You don't go to IGTV because you want to go to IGTV to watch a video. Like, nobody wants to watch videos that way. It's not really optimum for long-form content like they want it to be. Because vertical video, I don't care what anybody says, vertical video is not good for watching video for an hour. Like my man Flossy Carter said on my live stream, you could watch an IGTV video for, like, maybe 15 seconds, like a minute or two, but after that, it's over with. So the platform itself is not really optimized for long-form content. And the whole vertical video thing kind of restricts what you can do as far as content presentation anyway. So between that and IGTV not having any native form of monetization, and it's not ready for prime time yet.
Okay, so last question. Have you seen Apple's latest earnings report?
I have not. I heard they've made more money than they have in any other third quarter, though, but I don't know the exact numbers.
Yeah, so they made more money, but their sales are flat. I mean, but it looks like they got a good product lineup coming up. What do you think?
Yeah, I think those are going to skyrocket come fourth quarter.
Yeah, new iPhone, new iPad with thinner bezels. I mean, we got a lot of stuff.
They have a ton of hardware, and those third quarter earnings don't even take into account the new MacBook that came out. So, yeah, or the MacBook Pro, so.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Quarter four is going to be here.
What are
quarter
you
three.
Most excited for? Are you looking for a new iPhone? Are you looking for a new Apple Watch? What are you looking for from Apple?
You know what? To be honest with you, this year I'm not really too excited about the iPhone because it's going to be the same like last year. It's not going to be much different.
What Samsung did. The S9 is basically an S8.
Yeah, right. It's an iterative upgrade at best. It's nothing really that'll knock your stock off. As far as what I'm personally looking forward to, I think as far as Apple goes, I'm probably looking forward most to the Apple Watch to see what they do with it.
Yeah, because when they released it last year, I was just blown away with how advanced it was.
Yeah, once they put LTE on the Apple Watch 3, that was pretty much a game changer for Apple. So I'm looking to see where they take it this year.
As we wrap this kind of up, let's talk about two things that I know that I remember watching off your channel, and that's your frustration, I think would be the right word to use, with the HomePod and not being able to listen to video. Has that been fixed yet for you, or do you still have rage for the HomePod?
You know what, Josh? I have no idea because I got rid of my HomePod because it was crap.
Oh! What? You got rid of the HomePod?
Had to say,
such a hard goodbye to the HomePod because the junk wasn't living up to expectations. I mean, if Apple couldn't go out of their way to release the half-baked product, then I'm going to have to return the favor and return that crap because it wasn't ready for prime time.
Wow, that's shocking. That's interesting. Wow, I'm just like lost of words right now. So where can they find you at, Viper? Where can the people find you?
Oh, man. You want to know where the people can find the Man About Tech? All you got to do is type in Captain of Team Apple in your YouTube search bar, and I'll be the first thing that pops up, baby. That's how I get down.
Perfect. Well, once again, Viper, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. It means a lot. Thanks so much. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Once again, this is the Designer Exchange. I'm really bad at these outros, and that's about it. Okay, bye. See ya.